When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Steve Zanpour, Director of Consumer and Business Banking at Associated Bank. Steve, welcome.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. I have a couple of good topics to discuss with you today. I want to focus first on something that I heard recently and saw again in a news article, a new term for what we might be going through these days called a vibe-a-session. What is this?
You know, it's an interesting topic. I think it's just basically tries to describe the disconnect between the economic conditions of the country and the pessimism of the consumers. And if there is a disconnect, it's called vibe session, which is an interesting phrase to me as well.
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, we do continue to see these consumer sentiment numbers, consumer confidence surveys, those sorts of things that have been really sort of negative, even though that economy has been really firing on multiple cylinders. Yes, we've had high inflation, but some of these data points have been really good. Why do you think there is that disconnect?
You know, it's a great question. I really think there's two parts to it. I think the first part, and where most of the angst comes from, is folks are going to the stores and their purchasing power is less than it was for the same goods, right? Like, you go to the grocery store, a gallon of milk is still a gallon of milk, but it costs more than it did. And so when there's this angst of I spend more and get the same, I think that creates a little uneasiness in the mind of the consumer. And on a positive note,
continue.
I was just going to say, positive to that, where I think the consumer is still feeling really good and there's confidence, is the standpoint of the job market's still very strong. People feel confident in their earning potential and their employment situation. And so it's kind of this push and pull between I spend more, I get the same, but I'm confident that my income is steady and consistent. But at the end of the day, that still causes angst when I spend more and get the same, right? And so I think there's a healthy tension in this point in the economy, but still people feel that their spending power is less, and frankly, it's accurate, right?
Yeah, and so TransUnion, the credit reporting agency, did some research on this, and they found that people who had higher incomes, I mean, this seems obvious, felt better, but also people who had homes, who were homeowners, felt like they had better handle on the economy, felt better in the economy. Talk to us a little bit about the wealth aspect of that and the home ownership aspect of that.
Yep, I think from a wealth standpoint, right, what you see is the consistency in savings. And so even though products and services have potentially gone up, that hasn't impacted their savings rate. And so you have this level of confidence that says, okay, my savings is staying fairly consistent. Like I shared before, people are confident in their income stream. And so if you have those two parts, it makes you feel a little more comfortable, right, if something was to turn. And so higher income level, usually with those two kind of income streams, feel more confident in their abilities to weather any storm that might happen in the economy, right? But make no mistake, they're feeling the same pressure of when they go to the store, their purchasing power is still less, and the standpoint of, you know, you're getting the same goods for potentially more dollars. It's just, I think there's more confidence potentially on the income stream staying consistent, which I think is consistent across all consumer bases. But that savings piece is really where the difference is, where you start to see across the wealth spectrum, is that savings piece is staying consistent in that population of the consumer.
What impact do you think credit cards are having on the way people are feeling? A lot of folks have been going to credit cards to help them with their spending. Credit card interest rates are higher than they've ever been. Is that impacting people's feelings?
I think for sure, right? There is a percentage of the populations that carry a balance on the credit card. And I think those are the folks that you're talking about who are feeling a lot more angst, because, you know, if there is a gap or short-term gap in that spending for that month, that short gap has gotten more expensive to finance, right? From just the credit standpoint of where interest rates are. And so I think right now what we're seeing across, you know, all levels is there's still strong payment histories and things are good. It's more of the consumer confidence. And so I think, you know, that population that puts more on credit cards will continue to feel that stress. because interest rates will remain higher for the short-term future, for sure.
Steve, one of the other, I want to change gears here just a little bit, talk a little bit about those credit cards. With interest rates still where they're at and no sign that they're going lower anytime soon, talk to us a little bit about how important it is to find a card with a lower interest rate or somehow get those debts, those balances paid down a little bit. How can we take this matter into our own hands?
That's a great example, or a great question, excuse me. I think one of the best ways is to constantly think about how you're paying and allocating your bills, right? And a lot of times, if you look at where your most expensive debt is and making sure that the vast majority of your payments go to reducing the highest level of debt first, right? And so what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, I've had even friends of myself who are like, I've got to put this much in savings, and their savings account might be giving them 4%. But if you're paying 22% on your credit card, why carry that balance, right? Like, don't put that initial payment to savings, like reduce your debt so that your overall kind of bucket of what you're spending is actually coming down, right? And so it's really about looking at your kind of allocation of expenses, your allocation of your savings, and making sure you're maximizing kind of that personal balance sheet and income statement for yourself and your household. And that will create less stress as you kind of get consistency in that, right? Like what we talked about in the wealth segment a few minutes ago about that savings population, that's because the debt is usually lower, right? Or at more manageable interest rates for what allocation they have. As you become lower in the income stream, it is definitely more important to pay attention to what you're financing, at what cost you're financing, and then what portion of that savings can go to reduce or eliminate that portion of debt, so that your overall savings rate over time continues to grow.
Steve, are there still cards out there that have, change your balance now and get a lower interest rate or with much lower than the 21% interest rate that we see on most cards?
There are. You've got to do your homework. We have a lot of products and services that I think fit the whole spectrum that can help individuals, that our colleagues are well-versed at looking at the whole financial picture to be able to place you in. I think, what's dangerous is if you look at one product, right? Because there are products that you're describing that you can fix an interest rate or you can lock a portion in over time and pay it off. And those are all helpful tools, but it's got to come in the framework of an overall savings plan and an overall income review, which, I know our colleagues do on a daily basis. And what gets me so excited about my segment at the bank is we really can help people make financial differences by looking at that overall picture and spending time with each of our customers to put the right asset allocation together.
I know if you look really hard, you might even be able to find up to 18 or 21 months of no interest on a transferred balance.
That's right. That is right. Yeah. You could definitely get a balance transfer with no interest, which is super helpful. But again, remember, even on those situations, the financial plan is so important because the last thing you want to have happen is you transfer that balance and then rack up more debt somewhere else. It really becomes putting that plan together so that when you transfer that balance, you're now making the right allocation to pay down that debt while the interest rate is low.
I've never tried this myself, but I keep reading about it. Just calling your credit card company and asking them to lower your interest rate, does that work?
Not from the standpoint of just lowering the rate. I think there's other products and services that they can help put you in. I think there is some, if you fall on hard time type payment, like skip a payment type things, that can help. But yes, working with your financial institution, asking questions, and open dialogue is key with financial situations. And I think, what folks should always remember, if you don't feel like you have that situation with your current financial institution, you should find one that you do feel that way with. The financial institution is like a doctor. It's not a student-teacher relationship, right? Like from the standpoint of authoritary to non-authoritary, it should be one where you're holding hands, you're looking at the financial health of your situation, you're asking open dialogue questions, you feel like you're getting good answers in response to your questions, and that people care about your financial situation, because that is really what banks, and I know what we do hard or work hard to do at Associated Bank to really drive that feeling of connectedness with our customers to be able to provide that service.
Steve, I don't know if you spent any time on TikTok, but some of our listeners might have seen probably this new challenge where it's called No Spend Month, where people are not spending on anything above what they really have to spend on to survive. Talk as a way of getting finances under control and maybe even trying to pay off some of that debt. Is this a good idea?
So, I mean, on the surface, right, it sounds like a good idea. But I equate this to, like, you know, you could probably survive for a month on a block of cheese and a glass of water a day. But that's probably not the best way for a sustainable, healthy eating plan and healthy diet, right? Finances are very, very similar to that. And so I think the shock to the system could create short-term gain of maybe that 1 month you save a couple $100s. But that, in essence, you'll go back to your habits, right, if you haven't created good habits. And so I think the premise of what it's getting at is a good idea. I think how you approach it is like you would approach a workout routine or a diet of any sort, right? Like healthy consistency and reviewing those financial spends and then working to allocate those down is the best way to go about taking that financial journey, right? Like if you go to Starbucks four times a day, maybe go once a day, right? And start to make coffee at home. Yeah. Or, you know, when you look at kind of how you're planning or where that other spending is coming from, think about those things in aggregate and then make a holistic plan. Because, you know, two things happen. One is we all work for fundamental need, right? For the things you just need. But people also work for things they want to spend, right? You want to take your family on vacation. You want to do other things that aren't crucial to your being, but are crucial to, you know, your mental health and your happiness and your family, and all those things are extremely important. So creating that overall picture and looking at the whole view and making smart decisions on how you sustain financial consistency is really, you know, the best laid out plan.
And it kind of sounds like TikTok is talking about what someone in the old school would call a budget, right? Put together
That's
a budget
right.
and stick
That's
with it.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, looking ahead at what you need, and it becomes prioritization at different times, right? What's, you know, consistent to a family of four or important to a family of four is probably not consistent to the same person who's just graduated school and is single and starting their career, right? Your expenditures are different. Your excess income is different. And so all of those things need to be factored in when you look at, you know, a plan. And so I think you're absolutely right. I think this is a rudimentary look at a budget that just says, hey, anything you don't need to spend on, don't spend, and go for 1 month and see how you feel. But I think these are, you know, consistent and crucial things to look at across the whole spectrum. And frankly, it's an ever-evolving situation, right? Like the plan moves as your income moves, as your family grows, as, you know, loved ones have, you know, retirements and all these things. Like it's always on the trajectory of change and growth, which is why it's so important to have that open dialogue I kind of shared with your financial institution, and one that we work hard to create at Associated.
Steve, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
You can always reach out to email me directly at steven.zampor@associatedbank.com. And I'm happy to get back to anyone I can.
All right, Steve. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks so much, Steve. Have a great day.